to kill. And that prayer should be the prayer of all of us. And that prayer would be indeed relative to the subject matter that the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who leads. He's the one who's to be guiding us. And you can be confident that the Lord will guide you and lead you to a safe place. You can be confident of that. Marilyn and I had the joy going to Israel. The gift was given to us to be able to go over there. And as we were over there, it was overwhelming to see how many shepherds and flocks of sheep there were. In fact, they were so highly regarded and respected by everyone, buses, cars, whatever. If there was a shepherd leading this flock of sheep, everybody gave way to him. Everybody allowed and everybody knew how important the shepherd was and how important his flock was. And so there's no better picture in the Word of God to help you and I to see and to understand who God is than the picture of the fact that He is our shepherd. Now, for Him to be your shepherd, you have to make Him your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So I want you to make this personal for you today, if indeed it is. Because my subject matter is, hopefully, I'll show you from Scripture, you need a shepherd. You need someone to be guiding and leading you in the path of life. The picture of a shepherd is deeply woven into all language of the Old Testament, especially in the Word of God. In the whole area of Judea, when you were not, if you were over there, you would just see in the mountains, on the hillsides, everywhere you went, you see shepherds and the flocks of sheep. And the hillsides are covered with them. It's amazing how many hundreds and thousands of sheep that are over there. But the shepherd, as his responsibility to his flock, he was never off duty. You talk to him and you understand and you interrelate with them, you'll find that day and night, they know that their responsibility is their flock. And they watch over them. Day and night. He is completely aware of the fact of all the dangers that there may well be towards his flock. Thieves, common, just go in and try to steal sheep from the flocks. Or wolves. I mean, there's lots of wolves over there. And they are hungry. And they will come in and try their best to separate sheep off from the flock and kill them and take advantage of them, just like lions do, just like coyotes and wolves do to deer. They know they got to separate them. Once they get them separated, especially the younger ones, they know how vulnerable they are. So the aspect of that, of course, is very important because Jesus said, made it very clear, that a good shepherd would lay his life down for his sheep. And they would. They would give their lives up in order to protect their flocks. No one was looked upon over there, as I talked to different people, with more respect than a shepherd. And therefore, when you and I look at this element within the context of Scripture, you'll find that there is always involved within the shepherd an idea, concept of prevalence, being available, but also of sacrifice. A shepherd would lay his life down for sheep. In the Old Testament, God is overly, many times, pictured as a shepherd, okay? Psalm 23:1, why wouldn't David say that? I mean, David was a shepherd, was he not? David knew what it was to protect his flock. David had learned in protecting his flock, he killed lions, he killed bears. Therefore, he wasn't afraid of confronting Goliath. Because he knew that it had to be God that was delivering these creatures into his hands, the aspects of that. But the Lord is my shepherd, David said. Psalm 77:20, you lead your people like a flock by the hands of Moses and Aaron. So God could use people to lead his flock. In fact, in the Old Testament, there was elders appointed by God who had a responsibility to tend to, take care of the people of God, Israel. Now we know, according to Ezekiel, which we'll point out, they failed. And God judged them accordingly. But we know in the New Testament, God also has set aside men known as elders who are to be an example of the chief shepherd, and their responsibility is to lead, to guide the flock of God, the body of Christ, in a spiritual setting. There's no doubt about that. In Psalm 79, verse 13, the Bible says, "We, the people and sheep of thy pasture, will give you thanks forever." So, if you think about that, I want you to think about yourself as being a sheep. Now, think about it for a moment, because I got a point to make. Psalms 95, 7, "For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Isaiah 40, 11, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd." In the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself, if you will, as the good shepherd. John 10, verse 11, verse 14, verse 11, Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In fact, in the same context, Jesus says, "I know my sheep by name." Now, if you go over there and that thing, you could have shepherds come together with flocks and intermingle, and so that there might be hundreds of sheep all together in one fold. But when it came time for them to separate the sheep from the major flock to the shepherd, all he had to do was call. And they all had a particular call. And the sheep would separate themselves one from another and go to their shepherd. In other words, Jesus said, "And my sheep know my voice." That's what was important for that element, and so on and so forth. So as God's people today, the sheep of his flock, do we know his voice? We need to know his voice so that when he speaks, his sheep will follow him instead of the world and other voices that are out there calling for you and me, and be able to recognize the voices as for who they are. And they certainly are not the voices of my Lord, who is my shepherd. The aspects of that. In Isaiah, in the New Testament, in the concepts of it, Matthew 18, 12, Jesus asked a question, "If any man has 100 sheep and one goes astray, will he not leave the 99 to go find the one that has gone astray?" In Matthew 9, 36, he said, and makes it very plain. Jesus said, he made it very plain, the aspects of that, the point of issue is that, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we have turned to our own way. And so when Jesus looked down on the multitudes, he saw them as it was. He said he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Mark 14, 27, "You will all fall away because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered." So when Jesus was struck down, taken to the cross, where was his sheep? They were scattered, afraid, hidden, the aspects of that. So when you and I think about that, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." The tendency of sheep is to stray. I want to tell you right now, sheep of all creatures are stupid. They're one of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. I'm serious. And it says, "All we eat like sheep." That's not a compliment. That's not a compliment. God is telling you something about yourself and me. He's speaking to me. He's saying to me, "You're like a sheep. You're stupid." Well, let me suggest to you that sin is stupid. Sin is stupid. And it's absolutely, if you will, it's living in life going in reverse instead of forward. Because every time you sin, you fall back. You don't go forward. The aspects of that is so clear in the context of Scripture. That means then, as we've been sinning, we need to return, repent, back to the shepherd of our soul so he can guard it. Oh, do you know that your soul needs guarding? Do you know you have enemies out there? Do you have a lion, like a lion who's seeking to devour and destroy and murder? You are aware of that, I'm sure. Why would you and I want to go out there into a world that's under the power of the evil one and put ourselves in a condition where he could indeed do what he's capable of doing, and that's devouring our lives? He's a murderer. You know that, don't you? That's what the Bible calls him. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he's leading the multitudes of millions of people astray. He is. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace who brought us from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, even Jesus our Lord. Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:16. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned our own way. My suggestion to you today is that you and I need to fully, completely turn our lives around, repent if we need to, and turn back and make God the shepherd of our souls, of our lives. And that's your responsibility. 118 words in the book of Psalms 23. 118 words. But I guarantee you, those 118 words, if you get the picture of what he's saying, will change your life. It will change your life. Not only that, will it change your life, it will empower you. It will empower you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what's killing America today? You know what's killing our society, killing you, killing many of us, is that we're not content. We want. We live in want-me's. Want-me, want-me, want-me. And that's a driving force of the American culture. And, of course, that's what they try to brainwash us into thinking, that you got to have this Pepsi in order for you to be happy. I mean, how many advertising is that? You've got to have this. So what do? You go to the grocery store, you're walking down an aisle, and you have no idea why, but you reach up and pick something off the shelf, put it in your cart, and you get up to pay for it, and what am I doing? Why did I get that? You know that's subliminal. The advertising market knows they can plant thoughts into your mind that you will act upon those thoughts and not even know why you did it. Do you know that? Why? Because we're like sheep. They know what and how we think and how we process. And they know that there is never, ever an aspect of your life and mine, the reality of being able to learn what it really means to be content. Because if the Lord is my shepherd, I know He will take care of my needs. He will make sure that as His sheep, He will protect me, guide me, lead me, provide for me. He'll take care of me. And we'll see that more and more as we go into this Psalm 23, what in the world he's talking about and the importance of it. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak from want. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. Wow! That's the greatest medicine you could swallow this morning. If I was going to give you a pill, if I was a doctor, well, I'm not, but God is, and the great physician, God, your shepherd, says, be content. Be content, and you'll be a lot happier. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought for it. But if I take care of the birds, foxes have holes, all the things of that, look at what I do and how I take care of all that I've created. How much more will I take care of you, O ye of little faith? I mean, think about it. There's no doubt about it. That's the driving element of our culture. That's what's destroying American homes, is that people want, and they'll sacrifice their families to get what they want. Don't do that. You only have them for a short span of time. Invest your life, spend time with them, love them, share. That's the most valuable element that you could give to your children is you. They don't need a beautiful home. They don't need a Mercedes. They don't need that. They need you. They want you. And they're not finding that in our American culture today, in the aspects of that. And so in the aspect of Paul and his life and so on, in Philippians 4:19, Paul said, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Did you know your shepherd owns everything? He owns the gold, He owns the mountains, He owns everything. Everything is in His... And don't you think if you and I, that He will supply, He will supply your needs, whatever those needs. Not your want needs. Sorry. Your needs. Your needs. He will take care of your needs. There's no doubt about it. And He knows that. He makes me, my shepherd, makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know that in 1918, President Wilson, got flocks of sheep to come to the yard of the White House to eat and level the grass and so on and so forth, rather than pay somebody to take care of the grass. And they manicured it, kept it. They figured that back then it saved American people about $53,000 a week. Today, inflation, that'd be about $850,000. Now, what you need to understand is that sheep don't lie down. If you see a sheep lying down, that is out of the ordinary. The shepherd has to make them lie down. Did you know that? And what is going to make them lie down? They have to feel that they're in an environment where they're safe and secure because they're nervous. They're afraid. They're always aware of the fact that there is danger. And so they're always... I watched coming home from Indiana. We're down celebrating Neil Cathy Milliman's 55th. And I watched because I saw... I took the back road because I knew where there were sheep. I never saw one sheep laying down. Cows were. Horses were. But I never saw a flock of sheep, and I never saw one of them lying down. Anybody here needs to lie down? Anybody here is tired? Are you filled with fear? Can you go to bed at night and sleep? Are you worrying, fretting, and afraid that you can't even lie down in peace? He makes you to lie down, but He makes you to lie down in green pastures, but He also leads you beside still waters. Sheep will not drink out of moving water. They're afraid of rivers or water that is moving. If they're going to drink, the water has to be still. Absolutely. Be still, my soul. How much unrest is there in people's lives today? How much turmoil, mind, and every aspect, and anxiety that is driving our culture sick in the hospitals. You talk to a doctor. A doctor will tell you 80% of the people in hospitals there are there because of fear and anxiety. Yet the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And accompanied with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Must be my heart and my mind need somebody to guard it. Guardian, the shepherd of my soul, guards my heart and my mind. You getting the picture here? You seeing it? The Lord is my shepherd. And He's the only one can get you to lie down in green pastures. You see, the shepherd would guide his sheep up through the mountains and the narrow paths sometimes, but he had already been up into the plateaus of the mountain and already found the green pasture. And he had taken and put brush all around the area where he was going to take his flock. so that the wolves and animals, and it would be very difficult for the thieves to come over and get in and steal his flock. So he had already built, already secured the green pasture so that when the sheep entered into it, they felt safe and secure because of what the shepherd had already previously done. The Bible says Jesus is the forerunner. He's already gone before. He's already prepared the way. He is the way. And He will lead you into a green pasture. And He's guided it and He's made it an area where you can be safe and secure and protected by God. And you can lie down. Get it? Understand what He's saying? You see, there's more in this than you and I see by just reading it. He makes us to lie down. By doing what? Preparing the green pasture and securing it for our safety. So we're not afraid. We're not afraid to lie down. Wow. Leads beside the still waters. The aspects of that. You remember when the disciples and him were out in the middle of the sea? The storm came up. The boat was a-rocking. They were fearful for their lives. They could see that if there was no way that out of this. And what's Jesus doing? Well, he's sleeping. You get a picture there? He's sleeping. They wake him up and said, Lord, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And then what did he do? He stood up and he said, peace, be still. And the waves and the sea calmed into stillness. And they were amazed that even the wind and the waves obeyed his voice. Now, people, Bill, come on. Is the Lord really your shepherd? That you know that He will lie you down, and when you're able to lie down, you can lie down not only in green pastures, but He's going to lead you to still waters. Don't we need that today? Huh? Doesn't it seem like there's lots of storms and winds blowing all over the place today? Man, you watch TV, and I suggest you don't, but if you do, I suggest that you don't believe everything that's being said there. Because I'm telling you, according to the, I don't know if you realize that we live in a world today that is governed by fatalism. As far as the mindset of the liberal and the progressive, this everything is hopeless. So they're not going to share anything that gives people hope. You understand that? How can they? Because they have nothing to help in. You can't give something to somebody you don't have. If you have no hope, all you can do is fill people's hearts with no hope. Understand that. Okay? But my God is the God of hope. Hope in God. I have a lot of hope. I really do. That hope is my anchor. The anchor of the soul that keeps me steadfast while the billows roll and the storms roll and the tempest rolls and the wind blows. Let it, because I've anchored my soul in the bosom of Abraham, in the bosom of God. He is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I had to make Him my shepherd. You can try your best to make whatever. I saw Prime Minister of France, give his speech. If you heard it, you will find that there was not one reference to God. There was a reference to nationalism, to humanism, to secularism, to socialism, and how man has the answer within himself, and we can bring and resolve all the issues that we have in our lives today. Well, let me tell you something. My Bible says in Proverbs 3 times, the way of man is not within himself. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. Don't tell me, people, we don't and we need a shepherd. We all do. We all need a shepherd to guide and direct our lives and to lead us into the green pastures, inside the still waters, and all the aspects that He promises. God knows the way. He is the way. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the still water is. You don't. You don't. How many times have you made decisions and wished to God you never made them? How many times? And now you probably know, the aspects of the fruit. There's a way that leads and seems right unto a person, but the end thereof. Many times you can't see the end. Cannot. And I see it and I listen to it over and over. Jeremiah 10:23. Write it down. Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Do I know that? Do I know that it's not in me to know and to write and to walk the right path? There is a straight and a narrow way. You know that. Jesus said, I am the way. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he did. So when you come to this aspect of this today, God is my shepherd. I shall not want. God will take care of our needs. He leads us where? Into the green pastures. But what has he done? He's a forerunner. He's already gone before us. You know that, don't you? Where is he right now? Isn't he now preparing a place for you? So that where he is, there you may be also? And doesn't he promise as your great shepherd that he's coming back and take you to the green pasture, to the place that he's prepared for you? So that where he is, there ye may be also. Yeah, he's promised you that, me as well. So I need a shepherd. I need one. And as I look into this book, I find the path that he set before me, because he will lead me to the still waters. Whenever I've had troubled waters, I made them. I made them. Or you can blame other people if you want to. You can say, that wasn't my fault. 116 times my Bible says, choose. Life is a matter of choices. And when you make the wrong choice, you're going to pay for it. But if you follow the wisdom of the book and the path that it sets before us already, because Jesus has already left us an example that we would walk in his footsteps, right? And if I follow my shepherd, if you follow him and according to what he has taught you as one of his sheep, you'll be amazed how the water stills down and life becomes calmer. And you feel more fulfilled and safe and secure because you made a choice to make him your shepherd and to follow his direction. Psalm 25:5 says, lead me in your truth. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you, who leads you in a way that you should go. Jesus said, I am the way. And in Psalm 27:17, O Lord, lead me into a level path. Level. Psalms 139:24, lead me in the everlasting way. Remember Proverbs 16:25 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Don't forget that. You need to be seeking the good shepherd to make sure that he is the shepherd that's going to lead you, guide you, provide for you, and we'll see the rest, Lord willing, next week. As we see what that goes on. Because it's amazing what the 23rd Psalm teaches you. Okay? About needing a shepherd. And the aspects of it. You've heard this illustration, but I love it. There was a young orator, famous orator. And there was this elderly gentleman, God-fearing man, who were going to compete in quoting the 23rd Psalm. And so the young orator stood up and he quoted it. And when he got done, man, the people aroused and applauded and just, gave him a round of ovation of how beautifully a job that he did. And finally, it was the old gentleman's turn and he got up and he quoted the 23rd Psalms. But when he got done, there were tears running down people's eyes. You could have heard a pin drop. It was completely silent. And somebody said to another, what in the world just happened? What's going on? What was the difference? He said, well, the young guy knew the 23rd Psalms, but the old guy knew the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know him? Have you made him your shepherd? And are you following him and letting him lead you? You can know the 23rd Psalms, but you need to know the shepherd. And that's why we're here, to help you to come to become a follower. Where he leads you, I will follow. Because why? He's going to lead me into still waters. He's going to lead me into green pastures. Oh, yes, he will even lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you can be and want to be and desire to be our good shepherd. Help each of us this morning to make that choice, to allow you to be the shepherd of our souls, of our lives, and allow you to lead and direct our lives into everlasting life. God, we're thankful for each one that's here today. And I pray that we will humble ourselves and to realize the answer, the way is not within us. God, we need you. We need you to be the shepherd of our lives. And we humbly want you and desire you to lead us into a path of righteousness for your name's sake. So be with us and bless us in the further things of today. And we just thank you for loving us the way you do. And for the good shepherd, even Jesus, who laid down his life for us, that we could have eternal life. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.